My dear parishioners, we come today to the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Lead Us Not into Temptation. I'd like to read to you some sections from the Catechism of the Council of Trent, which is also referred to as the Roman Catechism. And what happened was at the Council of Trent, which ended in 1563, during the council, it was mandated that there should be a catechism. And, of course, a number of cardinals and bishops and theologians worked on it. But the prime mover of getting this catechism finished was St. Charles Borromeo. And so it was completed sometime in the 1560s after the Council of Trent. So the section on the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, I will read a few sections of it. It says, when the children of God, having obtained the pardon of their sins, are inflamed with the desire of giving God worship and veneration, when they long for the kingdom of heaven, when they engage in the performance of all the duties of piety towards the deity, relying entirely on his paternal will and providence, then it is that the enemy of mankind employs the more accurately all his artifices and prepares all his resources to attack them so violently as to justify the fear that wavering and altered in their sentiments, they may relapse into sin. So the devil doesn't like to see us practicing our faith, receiving the sacraments regularly, praying. And so he throws all of his assaults at those who are seeking to do God's will. And the catechism continues, hence, Christ the Lord has commanded us to offer this petition so that we may commend ourselves daily to God and implore his paternal care and assistance, being assured that if we be deserted by the divine protection, we shall soon fall into the snares of our most crafty enemy. And we recall the words of our Lord to his apostles at the conclusion of the agony in the garden, at the time that he was arrested. Our Lord said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. A few more sections here. He who a short time before loudly protested his courage and loyalty to Christ the Lord, it's speaking about St. Peter, how at the Last Supper, I will never deny you, and so forth. So he who a short time before loudly protested his courage and loyalty, he who had been so confident in himself as to say, though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee, he became so affrighted at the voice of a poor maidservant that he declared at once with an oath that he knew not the Lord. So what he's saying is how weak we are and how liable to succumb to temptation and to fall back in virtue. So we have the temptations of the devil that assault us. We also have our own fallen human nature. It says here, let the pastor remind the faithful of the conflicts and dangers in which we are continually engaged. As long as the soul is in this mortal body, assailed as we are on all sides by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it concludes this section with this statement. Those who have dedicated themselves to God, leading a heavenly life upon earth, are the chief objects of the assaults of Satan. It is not like it that we are striving to serve God. Now, as I was reading this, it reminded me of something else I had just reread. We religious read from the book True Devotion of the Blessed Virgin Mary regularly each year. And under the section of the motives for choosing this devotion to Our Lady, he gives us the eighth motive. It is an admirable means of perseverance. And this is what St. Louis says. Whence comes it that the majority of the conversions of sinners are not durable? Whence comes it that we relapse so easily into sin? Whence comes it that the greater part of the just, instead of advancing from virtue to virtue and acquiring new graces, often lose the little virtue and the little grace they have? And then he goes on to say this comes because of the corruption of human nature. But I have certainly seen that. People who seem to have a grace of conversion, turning back to the practice of their faith, and they'll fill with fervor and after a while fall away. So lead us not into temptation. The devil is working to lead people back, to have them give up their good resolutions and go back perhaps to sins that they have left. Under the next section on temptation, he says this: temptation has a good purpose. When someone's worth is tried, in order that when it has been tested and proved, he may be rewarded in honor. His example proposed to others for imitation, and all may be incited thereby to the praise of God. This is the only kind of temptation that can be found in God. Of it, there is an example in the book of Deuteronomy, in the Old Testament. Quote, "The Lord your God tries you, that it may appear whether you love him or not." Now, he begins the section by saying that God tempts no man. And in fact, that is listed in scriptures, the Epistle of St. James. God does not tempt, but he allows trials, is what it is saying there. And this is the another quote from the book of Tobias. This was the angel Raphael speaking to Tobias and his son. "Because thou wast acceptable to God, it was necessary that temptation should prove thee." And explaining the words, "lead us not into temptation," he says this: we are said to be led into temptation when we yield to temptation. Now, this happens in two ways. First, we are led into temptation when, yielding to suggestion, we rush into that evil to which someone tempts us. No one is thus led into temptation by God, for God is in no way the author of sin. He hates all who work iniquity, from Psalm number 5. And accordingly, we also read in the Epistle of St. James, "Let no man, when he is tempted, say that he is tempted of God, for God is not a tempter of evil." Second, we are said to be led in temptation by him who, although he himself does not tempt us nor cooperate in tempting us, yet is said to tempt because he does not prevent us from being tempted or from being overcome by temptations when he is able to prevent these things. In this manner, God indeed suffers the good and the pious to be tempted, but does not leave them unsupported by his grace. God is said to lead us into temptation when we abuse to our destruction his blessings, which he has given us as a means of salvation. When, like the prodigal, we squander our father's substance, living riotously and yielding to our evil desires. In such a case, we can say what the apostle said of the law: the commandment that was ordained to life, the same was found to be unto death to me. Before, you know, his conversion. Another section, we ought carefully to notice a certain usage of sacred scripture, which sometimes denotes the permission of God in words which, if taken literally, would imply a positive act on the part of God. In Exodus, we read, "I will harden the heart of Pharaoh," which means I will allow him to harden his heart by his rejection of my will. Also in Isaiah, "blind the heart of this people." And St. Paul said in Romans, "God delivers them up to shameful affections and to a reprobate sense." In these and similar passages, we are to understand not at all any positive act on the part of God, but only his permission. Now, what are the objects of this sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "lead us not into temptation"? We do not ask to be totally exempt from temptation, for human life is one continued temptation. This, however, is useful and advantageous to man. Temptation teaches us to know ourselves, that is, our weakness, and to humble ourselves under the powerful hand of God. What then do we pray for in this petition? We pray that the divine assistance may not forsake us, lest, having been deceived or worsted, we should yield to temptation. And by that grace of God, and that the grace of God may be at hand to succor us when our strength fails. Just a couple more sections here. When Joseph was assailed by the criminal solicitations of a wicked woman, did not God rescue him from the imminent danger and exalt him to the highest degree of glory? Did he not preserve Susanna when beset by the ministers of Satan and on the point of being made the victim of an iniquitous sentence? Nor is this surprising, for, we read in the book of Daniel, her heart trusted in the Lord. The epistle of St. Paul to the Hebrews abounds with victories of holy men. St. Paul to the Hebrews has this long section where he talks about Abraham and, you know, Joseph and Abel and all of these just men of the Old Testament who abounded in faith and in good works. While we read of such achievements, we should take into account the victories which are every day won by men eminent for faith, hope, and charity in their interior and exterior conflicts with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Satan is overcome not by indolence, sleep, wine, reveling, or lust, but by prayer, labor, watching, fasting, continence, and chastity. Watch ye and pray that ye enter not into temptation. From the consideration of these victories achieved by holy men, which we have mentioned, let no one indulge feelings of self-complacency, nor flatter himself that by his own single unassisted exertions he is able to withstand the temptations and assaults of the demons. This is not within the power of human nature. Hence, to God alone must thanks be given for victory, since it is only through his guidance and help that we are able to conquer. So we can say that in this petition, lead us not into temptation. What it means is, don't let us succumb to temptation. Give us thy grace, dear God, that we may overcome the temptations. And the last section here is on the rewards of victories over temptation. He quotes from the book of Apocalypse of promise to those that overcome. He that shall overcome shall not be hurt by the second death. And in another place it says, he that shall overcome shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So we're just talking about, you know, those who are victorious over temptation by the grace of God. That part of the Apocalypse, they will not be subject to the second death. We covered that a couple years ago when we had a scripture course. The second death is damnation, falling into hell. Because the first death, we all will experience departing in this life. That's the first death. The second death is the loss of one's soul. And St. John in the Apocalypse mentions that several times, avoiding the second death, you know, being careful not to succumb to the second death. And we will escape that by persevering in our prayer, especially asking God to lead us not into temptation, by which we mean, don't let us fall in the temptations. Give us thy grace that we may.